I am Platt on the line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. Just before Christmas on the 23rd of December 2020, the worlds of Broadway and the American musical theater around the world mourn the passing of the three-time Tony Award nominee Rebecca Luker, the dazzling soprano who wowed audiences in Broadway productions of Fun Home, Cinderella, Mary Poppins, The Music Man, Showboat, and many other shows. She had been diagnosed with ALS, or Lou Gehrig's disease, in late 2019, and through the year, even battling COVID-19 as well, she worked with her best friend, Sally Wilfert, on what was Ms. Luker's final recording. It is a new album, out now, available for streaming as well as on CD, All the Girls. It is described as a celebration of female friendship with songs by Stephen Sondheim, Lin-Manuel Miranda, Kandarin Ebb, and more. Ms. Luker and Ms. Wilfert had performed together on stage, including at New York City's legendary 54 Below, and had crafted with their colleague, the accompanist and arranger Joseph Thalkin, a program of songs and cabaret material. A performance at New York's famed Merkin Hall in 2019 is the basis of this album. As you'll hear Sally tell it, the rehearsals, as well as the one-night-only performance, were recorded, and though there were plans to go into a studio and record, COVID scuttled those plans. Thanks to the ingenuity of PS Classics, the album has come together, and it sounds like a studio album with the intimacy and force of a live performance. I'll get Sally to tell us about what a special performer and friend Rebecca Luker was, as well as the songs on the album and the compositions by Mr. Thalkin that are performed through it. Sally Wilfert has appeared on Broadway in the Tony Award-winning production of Assassins, The Adventures of Tom Sawyer, and King David. She appeared in the first national tour of the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee and has myriad credits off-Broadway, including Sea Rock City, Make Me a Song, The Music of William Finn, The Mistress Cycle, and more. Sally's website is at sallywilfert.com. Visit psclassics.com to buy the physical CD. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Sally Wilfert. Miss Wilfert, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
This past year has been a pretty shitty year for a lot of people, but for you especially, this has not been an altogether pleasant one. But I understand that you and Rebecca Luker were working on this album.
Yes.
Even up to the end, is that correct?
That is very correct, yeah. We up till, which we didn't know would be her last day, but yeah, we worked on it up until the end, and listening to all of the edits and taking notes and going back to Tommy Kresker at PS Classics and his engineer Bart and giving him notes and re-listening and writing the liner notes and choosing the photographs and all of that. It was just a wonderful thing. She was so happy to be doing that, and she was so proud of the album. It was really, really wonderful for her to have.
It's a wonderful album because the song selections are just wonderful. They fit your voices beautifully, and your voices themselves are just so wonderfully matched. They blend together so well. I'm sure people tell you that they can't tell who's who. Do you hear that a lot?
Yeah, we do. I've heard that a lot, and we also couldn't tell each other apart at times. I mean, we both have our own distinct singular sound.
Right.
Separately, we sound, we don't sound alike separately, at least to when we would comment on it, but we would oftentimes record our rehearsals just because we were writing a lot of the vocal arrangements, and something fantastic would happen in a rehearsal, and we just didn't want to lose it. And we would go back, and she would say, "Is that you?" I'd say, "I don't know. Are you on top? Am I on top? Are you on bottom? What's happening?" And it's kind of extraordinary in that album. I mean, I know who's on top and who's on bottom, but Lordy, we switch around within the song, from song to song, and there's times now when I'm listening to it that I'm sort of baffled by that. So yeah, we've heard it a lot.
So it's not just a technical thing, obviously. I mean, it's an artistic thing. But the two of you have such a connection. I mean, that comes through in the album. When did you guys first meet?
We first met, and Becca would be so right on this. She was so good at precise date, but we think it was sometime in about 2004. We met doing a reading of a new musical and met on the first day. And we would always joke about it that I think I said, "Hey, I'm going to go to the bathroom." She said, "Oh, I'll go too." And we went to the bathroom and we're side by side in stalls, and that's where our friendship started. We just started talking to each other, sitting on the pot. So we always sort of like laughed about it, but it was it kind of was descriptive of our relationship. It was just instantaneous, just one of those, you know, when you meet a girlfriend that is going to be in your life forever. It's kind of instantaneous.
Yeah, and I'd only seen her on television. I'd only listened to her, these various recordings that she made over the years, cast albums. But she seemed to me, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, for all her talent, you know, and her fame and renown on Broadway and beyond, just down to earth. So someone that it didn't matter who you were, you could go up to her and talk to her.
Not at all. You nailed it. She was one of the most authentically real people that you could ever meet. There was never any pretense. Just because she had, you know, a lot of fame and notoriety. I mean, I knew who she was when I met her, but it never mattered. And oftentimes, we also would talk about this. We would forget to even talk about show business around each other. Like, it just wouldn't matter. And she'd say, "Oh, wait, are you doing a show?" And it's like, "Oh, yeah, I'm going to go do this." Or she would share with me, and we would always go and support each other. And she was just the real deal. She was just who she was, and it was always about doing better work and just being herself with everybody. She was never a different person with anybody else. She was always just Becca.
And this remarkable voice of hers, the soprano. In terms of whenever the two of you get together, because you're no slouch yourself, you have a pretty good voice. Did you guys talk about that?
About our voices?
Yeah. Did you say, you know, did you have questions for one another even about you know, it and how to cultivate it, if you will?
Oh, I think we would absolutely talk about it. And, I mean, singing together, was a remarkable experience because it was so easy. We approach, music in very similar ways. We have the same sort of musicianship, if you will. And you could feel that there was a lot of unspoken, communication. We had a similar approach and technique from a very young age, and so we could talk about that. And you know, technically, when we were singing together, whether, you know, we'd say, "Oh, do you want to spin the vibrato after beat five? After, you know, do you want to, you know, just go straight to straight tone, and then, you know, take a breath here," like all those technical things. But oftentimes we would sing, and I could feel what she wanted to do, and same way with me, that she could feel me. And so we could kind of ride with each other. It was like riding a wave. I could always feel emotionally where she wanted to go, and she could do the same with me. And a lot of times we would tear up at the same time because something moved us in similar ways. So I think that's a very rare quality to have in two singers. And we were both trained classically, and I think that was we just had a similar style in how we were trained technically. And we could talk till the cows came home about technique and what it's all about, but in the end you kind of have to forget it and just let the joy take over and the heart take over, and that's certainly what she did.
What was it like for her, because of the ALS, to lose the ability to sing and sound as she did? You know, I have my own thoughts, perhaps, as you know, what it might have been like for her listening to, say, even this album, as you were all putting it together. Did she talk about what she thought in those moments, say?
Yeah, I mean, that was probably the hardest part about the progression of that horrible disease. I mean, truly, it's just cruel, you know, especially for somebody who, that's, you know, who they are. That's so much of their identity. But what was so unbelievably brave and, gosh, she was just graceful, is that she could still hear other people sing and feel joy in it. Or even I thought that it would be listening to us and this recording, which also, like, this show was just probably one of the, for both of us, a highlight for us to work on, both individually and together. So I was apprehensive that maybe that would give her, that make her sad to hear, but mm-hmm. Oh, it was the opposite. She was so happy to hear it, and I remember sitting and listening to all of it, and we would just have these knowing sort of glances with each other, and yeah. That was, like, so wonderful. Yeah. Sorry, I just got a little emotional.
No, but, one can even hear these beautiful, poignant moments, and I'm sure listening to it in retrospect, even that medley, yeah. You know, shows we could have starred in together. I mean, that takes on a different meaning now, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. Yeah, who knew? But, you know, we always said, we should be on Broadway together. We should find a show to do together. And then when the opportunity for us to create a duo show back in, the opportunity came at the beginning of 2018, uh-huh. And that, it took a nanosecond for us to say yes to that opportunity, to, you know, not only be in our own show together, but we're writing it, and we have, you know, our DNAs on the whole thing. And so when we decided with Joe, just talking, our extraordinary musical director, when we were creating that medley, I mean, we just thought we were just having, you know, hoot and holler in time with that. But, you know, like, even listening to For Good now on the album, mm. Like, that's just the truth. Those lyrics, yeah. Are just true.
Yeah. By the way, in that medley, shows we could have starred in together, you do Bosom Buddies from MAME.
Yeah.
If, let's say you both did that show together, who would play who?
Oh, gosh. I think I probably would have been Maine. I'm not sure. I think so.
This reminds me of...
You'd probably be elbowing me right now, saying, hey, what?
You know. This reminds me of the story, you probably heard it, of Judy Garland and Elaine Stritch. One night when they were drinking, one of them has the... Oh, I guess it's Stritch, has the idea that they should tour with MAME. And because of their well-known drinking... they could work it out so that one would be Vera when, you know, the one had too much the night before, and or they'd switch off, you know, regularly. And I guess Garland asked her, you know, who would do the matinees.
Oh, okay. That's brilliant. Oh, my goodness. No, we did, in the live performance of our show, mm-hmm. All the Girls, we ended that medley actually with Maria and Anita from West Side Story,
yeah.
And I Have a Love, and when we were putting it together, I said, well, who should be Maria and who should be Anita? She goes, I could never be Anita. You're Anita. I'm Maria. And it became like the hugest joke too, and she did. I mean, she sounded amazing. She was glorious as Maria, as she should have been.
Yeah. The song selections, you mentioned your collaborator, Joseph Thalkin. Mm-hmm. This really was the three of you, wasn't it?
It was. You know, when we were asked to be a part of this duo series at 54 Below in 2018, and we said yes, and the next phone call we made was to Joe, and he was, you know, took him 2 seconds to say yes. And we got started right away. Choosing songs, but it was definitely a collaboration between the three of us. And Beck and I would go out, oftentimes out to her house in the Poconos, and spend the weekend just researching songs and digging through recordings or listening to anything on Spotify or choosing different artists and just kind of going down their library of music. And it was really such a fun time because the world was sort of our oyster. And I, uh-huh. The first song that we did choose It was Becca's idea. We were driving the car out to her house, and she said, I have to play, do you know this song, Be Careful, by Patty Griffin? And I said, no, I don't. And we played it, and we both just kind of started crying in the car, and I said, oh, gosh, we have to do that song. And we spent that weekend beginning to write the vocal arrangements for that, and then took it back to Joe, and he would, you know, take it to another level, and then we decided to pair it with Be Careful, Dear Theodosia, and that arrangement that Joe came up with is just ridiculous. It's just beautiful. And so, yeah, we all say, the three of us and our director, Annette Jolette, said, I have never worked harder on any one show in our entire lives. We rehearsed and worked on that thing so much, it was all pure joy. We had so much fun. It was so much fun to create.
And so you did the this as a show at 54 Below, as you mentioned.
We did.
And then and then how did this recording come about?
Okay, this is like kind of a one of a kind story, and I love telling this. So we did it at 54 Below, and that was like a 65-minute show. Mm-hmm. And then we were asked by Sean Hartley at Merkin Hall in New York to expand the show and make it a longer, for more of a concert series. And so it became like a 90-minute show, maybe a little bit longer. And so we did it there. And we decided just sort of for archival purposes, we recorded the show with both the rehearsal and the performance that mm-hmm. night. And that was in September of 2019. And then right after that, Tommy Krasker from PS Classics, the genius that he is, called and said, hey, I really would like to record make this into an album, your show into an album. We said, oh, my gosh, that'd be great. So we were slated to go into the studio in April of 2020, and then the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
So we couldn't go into the studio. Rebecca had been diagnosed five months before that. So by the time the studios were safe and available to go into, it was about August of 2020, and her illness had progressed too far, sadly. Uh-huh. So then Tommy said, we thought, oh, what a missed opportunity. And we were both, you know, bummed, but we thought, oh, well, you know, we have the memories of all of it. And then Tommy said, hey, did you guys record this? And we said, we did. And he said, can I get the masters? We got on the masters, and he came back and he said, I think I can make this into the album. And so he went even further. He said, this is nuts, but I think I can make this into a studio album and remove the audience. The sound of the audience.
Wow.
And so then Joe Salkin, he said, let's expand the orchestrations. And Joe wrote more parts. And we had all these beautiful musicians at home in the privacy of their own home recording. And then everything was sent to Bart Michael, our beautiful engineer and producer. And he made all of that magic happen in the studio. So the vocals that you hear are from September 2019, and the piano and the guitar and the cello and the bass, there were four pieces, and then all those other instruments that you hear were done in the studio. It all came together, and that's what you hear. So it's like that it was done during COVID.
Yeah.
Was kind of incredible.
I mean, it's just a marvelous story in terms of the craftsmanship of an album like this.
Yeah. And it was so wonderful because you could hear, like, there's something very unique in live voices. Like, you could hear us. I think that's why our voices sound, we know that the audience is in front of us, which is kind of cool. So you can hear that in our voices. You can hear the enthusiasm.
Yeah, there's an immediacy, too,
Yeah. So we just love that. But it turned out, oh, my gosh, we're so blown away of how good it turned out, and Becca just loved it. Every single time I went to her house, and we were still listening to the last mixes, and there'd be somebody new there visiting her, and I'd show up to be doing something. She'd say, and the person would say, "Oh, Becca and I listened to your album," and Becca would say, "I'm sorry, I know, I'm not supposed to, I know it's not ready yet." I'm like, "No, it's fine," and everyone was so proud of it. So it was wonderful.
One of the hilarious and terrific performances on the album is "What Did You Do to Your Face?" What's that from?
Right, that's from life. No, that's kind of prescient, don't you think? That is a song by I have no idea how I found it. I was just scouring the internet and I found this song. It's by Susan Werner, and she's just this fantastic singer-songwriter, and I heard the song, and I somehow tracked down the music, and I can't even remember how I found it, but we played it, and also all the music choices, it was done by committee, and I brought it in, I played it for, I think I sang it down with Joe and Becca, and they were just in hysterics. We're like, okay, that has to go in the show. It has to.
It's just a delightful song, and it's hilarious. And
also that we all sort of contemplate here and there, like, should I? Could I? Maybe? No.
Well, one of the great things about listening to the album is hearing the collaboration between the two of you, two women, two friends, and seemingly no ego. Just great generosity between the two of you, and there's a lesson there for all of us, isn't there?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I mean, they always tell you don't go into business with your family or don't collaborate with best friends or whatever, but, yeah, it's risky. And there was just never any ego. It was, we never got too sick of each other. There was never any ego. We just loved being around each other, and we're always really honest with each other. She was like, we're like sisters in so many ways, but even better because you're chosen sisters. But yeah, a lot of generosity. And if one of us said, that song's not working, or, that's not good enough, we would speak about it, and we'd say, okay, let's fix it. Let's do it. Let's get rid of that song. Let's add something else. And there was so many changes between 54 Below show and the Markham Hall show into the recording and what went in there. There were some songs lost and some songs replaced. And like for the Markham Hall show, we added the whole suite of Joseph Falcon's tunes, which is all the art songs that you on the album.
Yeah.
And that was such a great addition. But yeah, there was never any ego.
Yeah, that's the thing. Even out here in Vancouver, Mr. Falcon has a great reputation as an accompanist and a conductor, but on the album we're able to see what a marvelous composer he is.
Oh my gosh, just you wait. I mean, he is, good Lord, he's writing something new right now that he's always wanted to write the whole kit and caboodle. He's writing the story, he's writing the music and lyrics, and I recorded a few songs for him, and good Lord. And he's just a nice guy. It'd be one thing if he was just a jerk, but he's just a really nice guy. Always, oh my gosh, he's funny and just so fun to work with, and that he's just ridiculously talented as a composer, lyricist, and then that he is, you know, a conductor and an accompanist. He's the whole ball of wax.
In terms of your own voice and performing, you know, people must ask you all the time if you have something that you like performing. Is there anything that you don't like performing in terms of say, what it does to your voice even?
You know, I'm blessed that I can kind of sing. I have really good training, and I can kind of sing any genre. I just don't like it when I sing a song that I can't connect to. I just can't. If I'm having a really hard time memorizing it, or if it doesn't make sense to me, and I sing, you know, already existing music, and I also sing a lot of new composers' music, and that always bugs me. I can't stand to sing, and sometimes, you know, I have to. It's already done deal, but boy, it makes me crazy. I just think, oh gosh, I don't connect with this song, and there's something that is not connecting, not attaching itself to me, because my heart goes into so much of what I do, and that's meaningful to me. I like to disappear. What it is, I like to disappear in the song, and if the song is in the way, it just drives me nuts.
Yeah.
But as far as like what I don't like my voice to do, I'm not a big, like, they call it squelching these days, just for the sake of screaming and squelching. I'm like, okay, well, all right. All right, but what's it mean? What does it mean? What does it do to us? What is the emotion behind it? I want to know dramatically what it's doing and what you feel. I like to feel. I like the audience to feel. I like when I'm listening to someone to feel. Feel something. Change me. Move me. And I get crazy. I get a little nuts when someone, all they care about is the high belting note. Like that, I think that drives me nuts. Like my voice doesn't have a hard time with it, but I get irritated. Like, really? Is riffing all there is? Is that it? Because I appreciate it, but like, what does it mean?
Did you sing every day? I mean, like, even around the house, did you find yourself, as you're doing other things, perhaps?
In general, in my lifetime?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I mean, my parents didn't know what to do. You know, I'm from a small town in Ohio, and I would be in the barn. I'd swing open the hay door, and I'd be just, like, belting out music, and they're like, oh, God, what are we going to do? But I loved singing. I still love singing, and still, I play the piano and sing for myself all the time, and I love listening to music, and, I do,
I was going to ask what's next, but I guess the better question is when's next? I mean, what's it been like in terms of, say, looking forward, if you will?
Well, when is next is definitely more the question, but what is next is I was doing an off-Broadway, I was in rehearsals for an off-Broadway show called Trevor, that we were 1 week away from heading into the theater. It's Mark Bruni is directing, and it's music and lyrics by Julianne Wick Davis, and a book by Dan Collins, and it's based on the Academy Award-winning short film Trevor, which the Trevor Project came out of, and I was playing Trevor's mom. So the sets are still in the theater, and they're sort of waiting for everything to come back. So I'm lucky enough that, I mean, unless something crazy happens, I'm lucky enough that I have something to go back to.
Uh-huh.
During the pandemic, too, I also, I booked one of the Williamstown Theater Festival jobs. They had a struggle deal with Audible for their entire season. So I did their one musical. It's called Row. The Tyne Raffaelli directed, and Mary Mitchell Campbell's the musical director, and it's written by Daniel Goldstein and Don Landis. And it's about a woman who is played by Grace McLean. Her name is Tori McClure, and she built her own rowboat and rowed across the Atlantic, solo rowed. Extraordinary story, and you'll be able to hear that on Audible. I think it's in April that it's coming out. So I'm doing, things here and there. I'm doing some streaming concerts. I'm doing, as much as I can do. And people ask me, I've been teaching and stuff like that. So just staying busy. And also Falcon and I have started working on a album. So for me, and so that's kind of starting now. And just trying to keep the balls in the air.
Yeah, and long may it continue, because it's marvelous to listen to you.
Thank you.
There's a wonderful line from a song on this album, and I think it fits Rebecca Luker so perfectly. You mentioned For Good a moment ago. I have loved much and been loved deeply.
That's from one of Joe's songs.
It just fits her perfectly.
I've been loved deeply, Oh, when my spirit's fire burns low, leave me the darkness and the stillness. I shall be tired but glad to go. And it's a beautiful lyric. And, she did love much, and she loved so deeply.
Yeah.
And I'm lucky that I was one of them, one of the people she did love.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. Congratulations on this album, and it's a wonderful way to remember Rebecca Luker and to hear the both of you together. I appreciate your time today. Thank you again.
Oh, gosh. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
The album is called All the Girls. You can get that at psclassics.com, and it's available for streaming in all the services. And visit sallywilford.com for more information. Sally Wilford, join me on the line from New York City and Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plata.